This week, on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SpringFest is heating up at Lowe's, and for a limited time, we have the extra big deals you need to impress guests. Get your outdoor space ready and save $50 on a select Kobalt 24-volt blower kit, now $79. Plus, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance 4-burner grill, now $199. It's springtime, and our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 4/13. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Jones Topsoil has been delivering topsoil, mulch, sand, and gravel. For greener lawns and brighter flower beds, call 1-800-TOPSOIL. Order online at jonestopsoil.com.
Jones Topsoil brings it home to you.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
What if Alec Murdaugh wins his appeal?
What then? Right? Oh my gosh, worlds collide, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. That's what will happen. No, we're going to talk about it because the appeal of Alec Murdaugh is on the docket with the South Carolina Supreme Court this week. If he wins it, well, let's get into it because everybody's focused on this. On Wednesday, the 11th, which would be, if you're watching this as we're releasing it today, depending on if it's after that, then it's, anyway, you can figure out what day it is. Will the South Carolina Supreme Court overturn Alec Murdaugh's double murder conviction? Social media is already buzzing about this. The legal analysts are warming up. Live stream links are circulating, and almost nobody is asking the harder, stranger, more uncomfortable question, what actually happens if he wins? Because the answer is not what most people think. Now, if you've been following this case and you're somewhat legally literate, you already know, you know, this does not let him out. He doesn't walk out of prison. He doesn't go home. He doesn't hug anyone on the courthouse steps. That's not what we're talking about. Doesn't do a press conference with Dick Harpootalin grinning beside him, and then they go and embrace in a hug that leads to some light pecking, a little bit of necking. And then before you know it, they're just making out right there on the court steps. Wouldn't that be an interesting twist to the story? Turns out he killed Maggie for Dick. And we mean that in more ways than one. I'm kidding. He goes back to his cell because Alec Murdaugh is already serving 27 years in state prison for stealing millions of dollars from his own clients. People who came to him injured, grieving, desperate for help. And he pled guilty to every count. On top of that, a federal judge hit him with 40 years for 22 additional financial crimes to be served concurrently. Those sentences are locked in. A federal appeal of the 40-year sentence has already been dismissed. The financial convictions aren't going anywhere. Even if the murder convictions disappear entirely, Alec Murdaugh is a convicted thief doing decades behind bars. His own attorney, Jim Griffin, did the math after the state financial sentencing and said Murdaugh would max out around age 75 and a half. Then, without missing a beat, Griffin told reporters that Murdaugh had already challenged him to a golf game. So if freedom isn't on the table, and it isn't, what is a retrial actually about? And more importantly,
what would it look like? Because that's the conversation nobody's having 2 days before the biggest appellate hearing in South Carolina history. Well, as we record this anyway. Here's where we are. In Columbia, South Carolina, five justices of the South Carolina Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in the appeal of Alec Murdaugh's double murder conviction. Harpootalan, Jim Griffin, Phil Barber will argue for the defense. The Attorney General's office will argue for the state. There will be no witnesses, no evidence, no ruling from the bench either. The justices will listen. They will ask questions and then retreat to deliberate privately. Their decision comes later in writing. And it could take weeks or months. When it arrives, it'll land in one of three places. They either affirm the convictions and everything stays as it is. They reverse and remand, which means the murder convictions are vacated and the case goes back to circuit court for a new trial. Or they remand for additional proceedings, basically telling a lower court to redo part of the analysis under a different legal standard. That third option is the middle ground. And in a case this politically charged, middle ground might be exactly where the court wants to land. Why? Because nobody wants to be the one that says, we vacated Alec Murdaugh's ruling. Nobody wants to, and even though everybody knows he's not going to go be free, nobody wants the headline. Nobody wants that to be their court. Nobody wants to be the one that, you know, figuratively sets Alec Murdaugh free, even though he's not really going free. Just nobody wants to be the one that says, yeah, we're going to change that. But somebody's going to have to figure this out. Somebody's going to have to make a decision. Also, no one necessarily wants to be saying, yeah, it's totally A-OK with us that a juror says, yeah, they were tampered with and it affected my decision. And the Supreme Court says, we're A-OK with that. You don't want that necessarily either. There's not really a great spot for anyone, if you're a court, to land smoothly here. It's a crash landing in some way, shape, or form. Unless you just keep it up in the sky, and eventually Alec will crash because he'll get old and die, and then everyone can move on, which may be where it goes. Let's talk about the big one, though. Let's say they reverse it. Let's say the Supreme Court decides that Becky Hill's conduct, her perjury conviction, the wrong legal standard applied by Justice Toll, the whole mess. Let's say it's enough. What then? Well, first, understand what a reversal is not. It is not an acquittal. Nobody is saying Alec Murdaugh didn't do it. The court would be saying the process that convicted him was constitutionally flawed. The verdict gets erased. The case resets to pretrial status, and the state has to decide whether to do the whole thing over again. So basically, it kind of puts us back to like 2022-ish. That decision is where it gets genuinely complicated. Let's start with venue. There's almost no chance a retrial happens in Colleton County. The original trial was a six-week national spectacle broadcast gavel to gavel by multiple networks. It spawned documentaries on Netflix, HBO, and Hulu. It produced a book written by the clerk of court, no less. That was later pulled for plagiarism. Finding 12 jurors in the low country who haven't already formed an opinion about this case would be like finding someone in America who's never heard of O.J. Simpson. A new judge would preside. New trial motions would be filled. The entire evidentiary framework would be relitigated from scratch. This isn't a sequel. It's like a reboot. It is. And that reboot could look very different from the original. One of the key arguments Murdaugh's team is making on appeal, separate from the Becky Hill jury tampering issue, is that Judge Clifton Newman improperly allowed the state to spend weeks presenting testimony about Murdaugh's financial crimes as motive evidence. The prosecution's theory was that
Murtaugh killed Maggie and Paul to create a sympathy event to distract from the financial investigations that were closing in on him the day of the murders. To sell that theory, prosecutors called witness after witness to walk the jury through roughly $8.5 million of stolen money. That went on for weeks. The defense called it a trial within a trial. They argued in their appellate brief that the financial crimes evidence was illogical, implausible, and unsupported as a motive for murder. And it served one real purpose, to make the jury hate Alec Murtaugh before they ever weighed the murder evidence. Through the prism of Alec Murtaugh and his defense, that's what they're saying. From the prison of many other people on the outside who understand narcissistic behavior, family annihilation, and a whole line of folks that came before Alec Murtaugh that did exactly this sort of thing, it makes total sense. The narcissist doesn't want you to know that. And they may not even see it themselves. They may think, that's, thou would do that. Alec would. I don't know if Alec knows that's why he did it. Or if just that deep feeling down inside led him to do what he needed to do because this will somehow make me feel good. I don't know. I'm not Alec Murtaugh. But I'll tell you, sociopaths, psychopaths, narcissists, borderlines, everybody that's in that fun club, a lot of times they're not even aware of why they're doing what they're doing. It's just their modality. It's like asking someone, I mean, just about their normal day. Why did you get up in the morning? That's what I do. You got to get up. But why did you get up? Because it's what I do. Of course, you got up so you can spend your day, get going. But it's one of those things where it's such a second nature that you don't really think of the reasoning behind it. When you're getting up, you're getting up. You're not like, well, I have to do this because, well, maybe you think that, I don't know. Everybody's a little different. Maybe that's not a great example. I don't know. My point being, folks who think like this, like Alec Murtaugh, they're so deep in the dark that they don't even know what they're doing is dark sometimes. It's not an excuse. It's just explaining the modality. So if the Supreme Court agrees, even partially, a second trial might operate under very different rules. A new judge could limit or exclude that financial testimony, and without it, the state's motive theory, the so-called gathering storm narrative that Creighton Waters built his entire closing argument around, it gets significantly harder to present. You can still tell a jury that Murtaugh was under financial pressure, but you can't spend a week marching grieving clients to the stand to describe how he robbed them if the court says that evidence was more prejudicial than probative. That changes the entire complexion of the case. But the good thing is, yes, that is one of their points they're arguing. The Supreme Court doesn't have to agree with all of them. They can say, yes, Becky Hill screwed up. And because of that and that alone, you get a new trial. Or we're going to punt this down the road to another court. They could say everything. They could say it's all in. If that gets to be removed as well, it's up to them. Then there's the evidence itself. This is where people who followed the original trial need to pay close attention. The state's case against Alec Murtaugh was always circumstantial. There is no DNA linking him to the murders. There's no fingerprints on any weapon, no confession, no murder weapon ever recovered. There was unidentified DNA found under Maggie Murtaugh's fingernails that was never fully investigated. There was cell phone data that allegedly went missing. There were tire tracks near the crime scene that were never pursued. Harpootlin laid it all out in an interview, saying there's no forensic evidence whatsoever connecting Murtaugh to the killings. None. No blood found on any vehicle in the house, in any clothes. Nothing. That's kind of a big deal, too. for those sitting and thinking, yeah, maybe he didn't do it himself, but he damn sure knows who did. Or he had some sort of hand in it. Or it was an organized hit or something. Alec was there. So for him to be completely clueless doesn't really check out in any possible equation of this story. I do personally wonder if he is the one who pulled the trigger. Do I think he's innocent? No. But I do feel that there's a version of this story that no one has heard and only Alec knows. Now, that's the defense attorney talking back here. The defense attorney gets paid to frame things favorably when we're talking about no evidence at the scene. The state would counter all of that. The prosecutors presented evidence at trial that Maggie's DNA and blood were found on the receiver of a shotgun, and that the forensic timeline tells its own story. But the centerpiece of the prosecution's case was never forensics. It was a kennel video, the recording from Paul Murdaugh's phone, taken at 8:44 p.m. on the night of the murders, in which three voices were identified as Paul, Maggie, and Alex. That video placed Alec Murdaugh at the murder scene minutes before the killings, after he had repeatedly told law enforcement he wasn't there that evening. That's important. When he finally admitted on the stand that he'd lied about being at the kennels, he was arguably the most damning and was the most damaging moment of the trial. Multiple juries said afterwards that his admission was what sealed it for them. Alec's ego getting on the stand and saying, "Yeah, you know what? I've been lying to you all of this time. I was actually there, but it still wasn't me." I mean, it kind of gets to like the Shaggy song, "It Wasn't Me." The video is still there, still powerful. But in a retrial, the defense comes in knowing exactly how the state will use it. They've had 3 years to prepare for it, 3 years to develop alternative timelines, to challenge the voice identification, to reframe the lie about the kennels as something other than consciousness of guilt. And they'd be presenting that defense to a jury that hasn't already been exposed to weeks of testimony about what a terrible person Alec Murdaugh is. The playing field wouldn't just be different. It would be fundamentally restructured. And that brings us to the question the state really doesn't want anyone asking out loud. Would they even retry him? Think about what that commitment looks like from the Attorney General's office. You're pouring enormous resources into a second prosecution of a man who is already serving what amounts to a life sentence for financial crimes. Your key witnesses are 3 years older. Memories have faded. Some witnesses may be unavailable. The media circus would be, if anything, more intense than the first time. The defense team, Harpootlin, Griffin, Barber, now knows exactly how the prosecution builds its case, which witnesses it relies on, which forensic arguments it leans into. They know where the holes are. They know where the pressure points are, and they'd be walking into a courtroom armed with that knowledge and the added ammunition of being able to say the last trial was so broken that the state's own Supreme Court threw it out. Eric Bland, the attorney who represented multiple Murdaugh financial crime victims and several of the original trial jurors, said something after the federal sentencing that sticks. He called the financial sentences the backstop. That was always the plan. Prosecutor Creighton Waters said it explicitly during the state's financial sentencing. The 27-year sentence was designed to ensure Murdaugh stays in prison for what is most likely the remainder of his life. And that's aside from the two life sentences. They built the safety net before the appeal was even filed. The federal judge went even further, tacking on 40 years and saying this is a reprehensible crime that deserves the most serious sanction. Between the state and federal financial sentences, the system already has what it needs to keep Alec Murdaugh locked up until he's an old man. The murder convictions are the moral statement. The financial convictions are the functional prison sentence. So does South Carolina spend millions of dollars retrying the most expensive and logistically complex murder case in its history for a man who's already locked away?
Or does the AG's office quietly let it go? Knowing the financial sentences accomplish what the murder convictions were supposed to accomplish. That's not just a legal question, that's a political one. In a state where the Murtaugh name still carries weight, where the case reshaped how people think about power and privilege in the Lowcountry, that calculation is ugly no matter which way it goes. Retry and risk losing. Don't retry and face an accusation that you let a murderer off the hook. There is no clean exit. And here's a part that should bother everyone, regardless of where you land on guilt or innocence. If the state decides not to retry, if they look at the financial sentences and the logistical nightmare and the political risk and they just let it go, then the murder of Maggie and Paul Murtaugh becomes functionally an unsolved crime. No one is convicted of it. The case file stays open. And two people who were shot to death at their family's hunting property on a June evening in 2021 have no legal resolution. That's what a win looks like for Alec Murtaugh. Not freedom, not vindication. A legal technicality that erases the verdict but changes nothing about where he sleeps at night. And a family tragedy that loses whatever closure the original conviction provided. Isn't about whether Alec Murtaugh goes free. That ship has sailed when he stood in front of Judge Newman and then Judge Gergel and admitted to stealing from the most vulnerable people who ever trusted him. It's about whether the state of South Carolina is willing to admit that the trial of the century had a fatal flaw and whether admitting that is worth the cost of doing it all over again for a man who's never getting out anyway, for victims who'd have to relive the worst moments of their lives and for a system that might not survive a second look any better than it survived the first. Your thoughts in the comment section on our Substack or on YouTube. The links are in the descriptions. HiddenKillers.substack.com or HiddenKillersPod.com will take you there as well. YouTube, you know how to get there. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi once you land, and you will find us and you can weigh in. I'd love to get your thoughts. Even better, take us with you so you don't miss any of our coverage on this and the many cases that we're following here for you. Just go to your favorite podcast player and search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and press subscribe. If it's Apple Podcasts that you're using, well, hey, leave us a review there. If you got a few seconds, we greatly appreciate that. Helps us tremendously, lets other folks know that you are appreciating our reporting, and then it feeds it out to them too. So a quick review on Apple Podcasts, greatly appreciated if you've not already done so. Thank you very much in advance for that. All right, let's continue the conversation in the comments. I'll see you there. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
John Daly here.
You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.